Our next presentation is going to be Transferring Underlying Principles of Effective Agronomic Reforms to Educational Reforms. Comfort Etta is going to be our speaker.
Pretty again. The left goes forward.
That goes forward. Now
go back.
All right.
Okay, good morning. Thanks for coming here. It's my pleasure to share with you a perspective in educational reform that is very passionate to me, which is embedded in my talk, Transferring Underlying Principles of Effective Agronomic Reforms to Educational Reforms. I come here as a past agronomist, and I'm using my knowledge in agronomy to inform my current status as an educator. This is the outline I'm going to use in presenting my talk here. First, I'm going to share with you the question that underlines this presentation and the purpose for me sharing this with you. And then I'm going to share with you the findings from a study that I conducted on 11 high school science teachers that present the basis on the findings that I'm going to share with you. And that also leads me to share with you the innovation decision process model in agriculture that most of us might be familiar with, which is a framework that I used in interpreting the findings I had from studying the 11 high school teachers. And then I'm going to compare the findings from my educational innovation to that in agronomic innovation, and then the conclusion and implications for what this presentation is for us. The question that underlies this presentation is, why are teachers not adopting formative assessment, which is an educational innovation that has research-based evidence that if well implemented in the classroom is going to enhance students' learning and their performances in standardized test exams. Why are teachers not adopting this innovation? The purpose for me sharing this here in this forum is, well, this should go to NST or some other place. I mean, we are here in education and extension and probably some K-12 interested persons here. The purpose is for me to share with you the nuances in educational innovations like formative assessment, and also to share with you my findings and how it has helped me to look at the innovation decision process model and how this model can be used by educators to enhance the adoption of educational innovations. First of all, what is formative assessment? It's not probably a language that is familiar with some of us who are agronomists here. There are so many definitions or conceptualizations of what formative assessment is, but I have captured what PROFARM, an educator and renowned researcher here, finally defines it in this definition, where he points that it is an elicited evidence of students' learning. So teachers are in the classroom, they elicit students' knowledge, understand what the students' knowledge is all about, use that information to adjust or modify their instruction to guide the students immediately in their learning. This is very different from some of the other conceptualizations of formative assessment. So this is the definition or the conceptualization that I'm using here, both in my research and my presentation. Now, how does this fit here? As I told you earlier, I conducted a study on 11 high school science teachers in schools in Northern California. And the purpose of this study was to have these science teachers share their perspectives on elicitation based on the purpose for eliciting students' knowledge, the strategies that they were using, and the challenges that they were finding in their elicitation. How did I do this? I observed the teachers as they taught a typical lesson in their classroom. After observing them and videotaping them, I used the video-stimulated recall interview technique, which consists of the teacher and myself, as you see there, watching the video of their instruction, and I had indicated to them that each time they found an instance where they elicited students' knowledge, they should point that. And it was during those instances that I asked why they were eliciting the knowledge, the strategies, and their challenges, which they shared with me. After I collected all these findings, not going to go into the details of the analysis, the findings from this study showed that there was very minimal evidence of teachers practicing formative assessment in their classroom. This again based on the findings on the purposes for eliciting. They said things like, well, I elicit students' knowledge because I want to see if they recall what I taught yesterday. I want to see the knowledge that they are bringing in my class. I want to see if they make connection between different concepts. Another one, the strategies. Why? What were the strategies they were using? They would elicit from a single student, a group of students, or the whole class. They would ask very superficial questions. And their challenges included things like, well, the students are very apathetic. I'm not even motivated to ask them questions because they won't respond. And there is a pressure for meeting all the standards. I need to cover all the standards so that the students should be ready for their test, so I don't have time to elicit students' knowledge. Based on all these findings and based on what formative assessment is, because elicitation is a crucial component of formative assessment, it kind of informed me on the teacher's practice of formative assessment in their classroom. I went further now to explore these findings using the innovation decision process model that is we are so familiar with here, Rogers, and I went back to look at formative assessment as an innovation in education. Now, when we look at education, like in agriculture, anything, evolution comes with so many innovations, and with education, following the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, something most of you might not be familiar with, but you should be familiar with the No Child Left Behind Act, which has come with so much accountability. Teachers are being measured, or teachers are held accountable on students' learning based on students' performances on standardized tests. Therefore, educators and researchers are being pressured, or they have to look at ways to enhance teachers' instruction so that students should enhance their learning and be able to succeed in this standardized test. And therefore, term a strategy like formative assessment, one of many, which has been research shown, and so many evidence has shown from the research base that if teachers effectively implement this instructional assessment practice, it will enhance students' learning. However, teachers are not adopting it, despite all these challenges in accountability, challenges in enhancing students' learning, teachers are not adopting it. What is happening now? Now, let me take us back now to agronomy. How have agronomists used these innovation decision practices to enhance innovation? The typical case here of corn production. And let me give you a typical example where agriculture came from. Sub-Saharan Africa in Cameroon, where as an agronomist, farmers were presented with high-yielding corn varieties, and they had the opportunity to plant their traditional varieties and the high-yielding varieties, and they were able to see, to compare and see, oh, these high-yielding varieties, they are profitable to me. It's something that I can adopt. And researchers and extension workers were, okay, these farmers are definitely going to adopt this because it's going to increase their production. However, that was not the case because the farmers went ahead to explore these new varieties, and what did they find? They found that the meals that they were preparing from these varieties had lower palatability compared to their local varieties, which was important to them. They also found that these corn varieties had very soft grain, kernel, and so there was a problem of insect infestation, and they kind of resisted. Oh no, this is not for us. Even though it's very high yielding, over five times more than their traditional, they did not want to adopt it. Researchers did not just fold their sleeve and say, okay, we have this thing for you, you need to take it. No, they went ahead and worked with the farmers and went ahead to work developing new varieties that would meet the farmers' needs. So you see here an interaction between the researcher and the farmers, understanding the challenges and helping the farmers to adopt this new innovation. Rogers Innovation and Decision Process Model really explains this process, how we can get an innovation from being presented until its final adoption. And here the very first stage, you see there are five stages, the knowledge, persuasion, decision, implementation, and confirmation. I know that this is such a linear, but to make this talk easy, we're going to look at it like a very linear step. The very first step here with knowledge As you can see, it is where the individual or the organ that wants to adopt the innovation tries to reason and needs to understand what is this innovation about? What is it that I'm taking? And in the case of the corn variety, the researchers were there with the farmers, helped them to understand high yielding versus your traditional variety. So the farmers were kind of convinced, they saw the profit, and they went to the next step, the persuasion, where the farmers had to weigh the risk and the advantages. Why would I adopt this when I have another one? And with time trying to experiment, they noticed that there was an issue with palatability and pest. And so there was this little resistance, but then continuous interaction helped them to make more decisions. And then went on to the decision where they adopt a little part of it, plant some of their parcels with a new variety and still studying it, and then go to the implementation stage where they are listening to their peers, other farmers, getting information. How is this working for you? What are some of the challenges? And all this time, they are working with the extension workers and with the researchers who are also helping to make sure that the farmers' needs are met. Making it so simple, but we know that there are all these other agricultural, agronomic practices like weed management, density, that we need to provide these farmers to help them really meet the potential of these varieties. And then finally, the confirmation stage, where this innovation becomes part or if not all of what they are doing, completely replaces their tradition. So we see this smooth path that the process of innovation and adoption is taken with my example in agronomy. You might have some cases that have not been successful, but that was my personal experience as an agronomist. What am I seeing now as an educator? Now, let me compare here the case of the corn variety and formative assessment, which is something kind of like bullet, oh, teachers use this, things are going to be okay. And then look at the five different stages of the innovation decision model. And here I've talked about this where the corn, the knowledge base was easy, explicit. In the case of formative assessment, teachers are not even clear what this is all about. It's very different conceptualizations. So they are not even able to discuss what they are finding. You go to the classroom, you ask a teacher, are you using formative assessment? Yes, what is it? You ask five of them, they are giving you five different things. So researchers they're not clear on what is it that teachers need to do. And then go to persuasion. If they are not clear, how can they look at the risk and benefit? Go to the decision, it's kind of top bottom. This is an innovation, do it. Nobody cares whether the teachers have problems in their classroom or not. And then finally, when you go up to these other stages, there is minimal adoption of formative assessment. And then we go wondering, why are teachers not doing this? How come the researchers and those above are not helping the teachers as we are doing as agronomists to help the farmers? So you see some problem, nuances with the innovation decision model with education. What is this telling me? All of us know that innovations are very challenging. It comes with change of beliefs and practices and so many things. And unfortunately, from the findings that I found from my studies, teachers have very limited opportunity to experience and share their findings for educators or researchers to help them with. Finally, and also I see that educational innovations, a good number of them, like formative assessment, they are not very explicit. Teachers don't know exactly what is wanted. And even when they know, there is no support system to help them, or they know no one comes in to help them with the process and see their challenges. What is the implication? Okay, I'm not going to talk about implications for educators and whatever, but there's implications for stakeholders in educational innovations, and specifically I want to talk here mostly for those agronomists in the K-12 community or those who are stakeholders here in agronomy trying to see what package we can take to the K-12 community to enhance their knowledge in agronomy and to enhance science learning. Whatever we are developing, we need to be very, very careful. Make sure that it's going to be in line with what the teachers understand. Make sure that we are very explicit. How is it going to affect the teachers? What is that package we want the teachers to adopt with respect to what they already have? What are the challenges? We need to have that package and make sure that it's very explicit for the teachers before we work on it. I know the K-12 committee has been working so hard, great website, trying to see things that we can help the science teachers. But again, we need to look at the innovation decision process model and see those challenges that are there before we can think that we can actually help the educators to enhance students' learning and also enhance their success in education. Thank you, if there are any questions.